ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। टुडे एंड टुमारो इंडिया इज सेलिब्रेटिंग द फेस्टिवल ऑफ लाइट्स दिवाली। द लिटिल लैम्प्स द दीपक्स एंड सो द वर्ड दीपक दैट ब्रिंग्स लाइट दैट कम्स इनटू द नेम ऑफ द फेस्टिवल। आई एम सो हैप्पी दीपावली फॉर ऑल ऑफ यू। It's also the next day after Diwali, and so on the 22nd would be the new year, a new beginning. So truly I think it will be a new beginning for all of you. Some of you have been on the path of spirituality for some time, but for some it's a first step, but whichever, I'm sure there's some newness that you're going to carry away with yourself. So it's auspicious that it'll be at the time of the new year. People want to see proof of everything nowadays, and I'm sure that also applies to everyone here. So what proof do I have of my yoga? Yes, I can concentrate more than I used to. I'm having positive experiences. I can see that my focus is stronger, my connection is better. But are there other indicators of the proof of my yoga? Yes, we call them the eight powers. So through that connection with the divine, we're drawing power within the self. And this power is something that you can see developing in your life, and where you feel you need something more of that specific power, you can actually develop that very consciously further and further. And so this morning, just taking you through that circle of the powers that we need in our lives, especially today. The first power, and you'll be not very surprised to know, it's to do with turning inwards. And so yes, the awareness of the inner being, but not just at the time of meditation, but to be able to begin a task with self-awareness, do your task, and when you finish that task, again, go back inside. And the image we often use to describe this power is a turtle. Comes outside, does what it needs to, and then it goes back within. And going back inside allows me to connect. So in between all the things I need to do, for example, you're working in a school or a hospital, many places where there's long corridors to navigate. And so when you're moving from one room to another space, instead of taking out your mobile and checking to see what messages there are, maybe that can be a time in which you go inwards and just again connect with your own inner core values and emerge them within your awareness, and connecting with the divine to draw more power. And so just imagine if you're doing this in between other things, that light of yoga, the light that you are, will stay bright. Otherwise, wait till the end of the day. You've had your meditation in the morning, you've been busy through the day, and at the end of the day, you're pretty well exhausted, and the mind doesn't really focus so much on meditation. But if through the day, you've been giving yourself this little pause, and you're pouring in the oil to keep the lamp alight, then even at the end of the day, you're much fresher than you would have been otherwise. But also, at the end of the day, you're still filled with that energy that is the energy of love, of purity, of peace, of all the things that the soul needs. The other thing at that time is also, whatever has happened, it's time maybe to just reflect on that before you enter a new engagement, a new person, a new project, whatever. And in that moment, again, just look back and ask yourself a question. Could I have done something differently? Not better, not worse, but just differently. And probably there'll be something that touches you, because it's a fresh experience. You can learn from it. And so, can I do it differently next time? And so before you enter your next engagement, you'll have had that little pause in which you prepare yourself for the next step. It also means that you've again renewed that canopy of protection over you, so that whatever happens in the next engagement, you feel that protection that's helping you. Surround yourself with that light, so that anything that's coming, which is not very pleasant, gets repelled by the light. So the power to go within, very, very important practical aspect of being out there in the world. And the second, the power to see what is useful and what is not. Especially before you travel, you have to go through this exercise. In India, they take 15 kilos on domestic airlines. 15 kilos is nothing. And so you really have to decide, what is it that is essential? And so that skill of not just when you're packing your luggage, but when you're looking at what's going on, well, do I need to give my time, my attention, and my engagement to all the different things that are going on? Or there are other things, can I say, okay, I'm done. I don't need to give it any further attention. Or maybe I need to give it 5-10 minutes to just sort it out and let it be. I don't need to carry that load with myself through the whole day and the next day and the next day. So try to settle things as you go along. And this power to be able to decide and see what is essential will save you a lot of time. But most of all, it'll save you a huge amount of energy. Energy that is very valuable, because it's the energy of the soul, the energy of your mind, the energy of your intellect, which is very precious. And so you don't want it just to go here and there simply because you weren't attentive enough to prune it out. So maybe there are things that are long term that I'm carrying that I need to relook and understand what the need is, and whatever it is I need, I keep and I'm going to carry on. But there are things probably that I don't need. And that applies to this, but also it applies to your cupboards at home. So just to clear things as you go along, and if there's a lot of backlog from the past, to deal with that first and clear all of that. But just to lighten the burden carrying in here. It's amazing how much burden we carry. And then it's not just in the mind. It's on your shoulders, it's trapped in your body in different places. And then when there's aches and pains that come, you wonder what's happening. But that's what's happening. And so I need to develop this ability. And then the third power, the power to tolerate. I think back to the stories that Dadi used to tell me about in terms of her childhood. And she saw electricity come in her lifetime. Can you imagine being in India on the subcontinent and wow, it's magic. You don't have to trim the candle, the wick. You don't have to pour in the kerosene in the lamp. And you don't have to see the mess of the soot. You just have to press a button and there's light. It was really magic for her as a child. But also she saw television, before that telephones, radio, all of that was in her lifetime. So she would sometimes look at us and say, well, you know, when I was young, I didn't think about these things. And here you are, something's missing and you can't manage. How come? And so it seems that as time has gone on and as more and more facilities have come to us, we're very dependent on all those facilities and we feel that, well, this is what life is about. And yes, if it's there, great. But what if it's not there? If there's an electric outage and for whatever reason it's beginning to happen in the developed world, the developing world, different factors. And so can I cope? Can I cope? Can I manage? But also not just external things, people. You don't have to answer my question, but I know that in Britain there are now more people in their second marriage than in their first. And that was a statistic a few years ago. It's probably, the numbers have probably escalated further. So what went wrong? How come, probably before the war, the Second World War, divorce was relatively uncommon all over the world. And today, even in India, and I say even in India, because the promises made for a relationship for a lifetime is something that's instilled in young people, in families. But even here, there's many, many, I don't know the statistics, but I know that within my own circle, there are many people, and mostly not on the path of yoga, but they can't tolerate each other's little misdemeanors, little habits that create irritation. And so, okay, you go your way, I go mine. And usually it's little things, but the little things build up. And so this inability to be able to stretch myself and manage things, that seems to have been lost along our journey somewhere. And so to be able to take in that power so that I'm able to adjust and able to be flexible and I can accept the idea of the other rather than be stuck just with my own idea. All of that is something you can develop. It's not that, well, I've never been tolerant, so I'm not going to be. No, I haven't been tolerant, and so it's really been a factor for challenges in relationships. I can stretch myself and learn to accept not just the idea of another, the perspective of another, the habits of the other, simply just acceptance, having a heart that's big enough to be able to take everything in. So can I actually practice taking that power and allowing myself to develop in this way? And it's very interesting because on the other side is the power to actually face up to situations. So on one side you have tolerance, and on the other side the power to face up to situations. And on one level there seem to be a contradiction, but there is a fine red line that you can draw to separate the one from the other. If it's a question of just personal choice and preference, I prefer pizza to spaghetti. Well, tonight it can be pizza, and tomorrow it can be spaghetti. It's okay. Or today is Mexican, and tomorrow is Indian. It's fine. Flexibility when it comes to what you would like rather than just what I would like. You can see where all the ego and arrogance that we have comes out to play in little situations. No, it has to be like this. No, it doesn't have to be like this. It can be a different way. But on the other side, what is it that, what is there that I have to be absolutely firm and stable about? Is there something that's there that I need to say, no, this is my principle and I will not move on this? You can see that then you might have to face challenges, but where is it that it's just your choice? And where is it that it's a principle? When I can see the difference in terms of both of these, then I'll know where I need to stand up and say, this is what I will do, and not be budged from that. So there are things that I need to sort out in my own mind about where it is I need to be completely firm, and where it is I can flex. So both are aspects of the same. But one, the big heart, and the other, the strong heart. Both are heart aspects, but if my heart has decided that this is what I will do, this is what I need for my own spiritual progress, I won't shake on that. I'll be absolutely firm and stable. And that'll help me in huge, huge number of situations that we face every day in our lives. Just knowing that there are these two different ways to approach something. So what do I draw on at this moment? And then, can I develop the power of accommodation so that I can accommodate people, ideas, situations, just like the river will move in a specific direction, but also adjust and accommodate. More water comes and it can broaden out. Dirty water comes, it won't reject it, it'll still accept it. And so to move along in the direction that I have chosen for myself, but along the journey, to be able to adjust with others. And that definitely wins friends. If I'm not able to adjust, probably I'll have lost a few friends along the way. But where I can adjust and say, I know where I'm going, and I know the journey I have to take, But it's okay. It might take a bit longer if there are things being thrown at me, things being thrown into me. But I'll still make it. I'll get there. And then the power to perceive, to be able to look at things not just from one perspective, but from a broader perspective. Not just to think in one dimension, but to think in the multi-dimensional aspects of life. And if I can perceive, if my perception becomes broader and clearer, my understanding is going to grow. Probably my compassion is going to grow too. Usually when there's lack of compassion, it's because it's very narrow tunnel vision and I can't see light at the end of the tunnel. When I've opened myself up and I look from a broader perspective, and if you remember the analogy of soul, stage, the drama, the costume. So rather than looking at my little bit here, can I see the stage and how the drama is unfolding? The clever jeweler is able to perceive the value of the diamond even without a magnifying glass or the microscopes that were needed today, a lot of development to be able to judge, evaluate the value of stones. But olden days, and it was just the eyes. And so in terms of perception, how do I see people? Can I value them? Can I understand their role in the drama so that my heart is more open to accept them? Whatever the color of the skin or the gender, whatever is coming to me, to be able to have that clarity of the soul so that my perception is on track. The tunnel vision comes when we're in body consciousness. Then I look everything from the perspective of age and gender and color and race and even profession. But I'm not divided into little bits. I'm the one person. And so can I bring in all aspects of my inner being to look at something so that it's not just from one perspective but it's a total one? Can I also see, having been able to perceive, can I then decide what it is I need to do? Perception is one thing, and then action is the other. And so the actual decision-making process, and the image we use for that is one of those old-fashioned scales that you hold up, and it's got two pans, and you put your things in one pan, and the scale has weights on the other, and you have to make sure that the center point is absolutely straight, neither here nor there. And people who are my age will remember going to the grocers and they would cut a slice of cheese, little or big or whatever it is, but they had an eye for knowing how much it was going to weigh. And it was mostly accurate. Their first cut would usually be the one that was accurate. And so, on one side, my values, and on the other side, my action. Now, how does all this fit together? And so my decision is going to depend on how my values and my perception work, and that's going to determine the action I take. And so often, when we flip-flop between decisions, it's because we haven't given ourselves that time for introspection, to actually be able to look at the situation clearly and perceive it, and then to be able to look further ahead than just what's here in front of me now. And when I'm able to see further ahead, then I'm able to understand how to weigh all of these things up and then decide. And more likely that I'll be able to stick with the decision I made, not just for a day and change my mind a day later, or even for a few hours and change my mind a few hours later, but to make decisions that I have to live with, maybe for the rest of my life, or maybe for some years. But it'll be that vision which is not narrow, but it's in the light, not in a tunnel. And in the light, I'm seeing all the different factors. And if there's two specific powers that I would single out that we need at times like this, which are very volatile, highly uncertain, so one would be the first one that I mentioned, to turn inwards, the pause. Keep using that many times a day, and you'll find that your day is much sweeter, much smoother. And the other one is this ability to decide, decision-making capacity. At a time when you really don't know what's going on below the surface, you see things happening on one level, but what's actually happening deep down inside, you never know. And so I need to have more than just logic and reason. Maybe I need to have that connection and my own inner intuition to be able to guide me. So decision making in terms of the choices that I have, when it comes to the environment and factors dealing with that, there are so many little choices we can make, decisions that we take through any one day. When I go shopping for food, for clothes, for equipment, little things, a house, big things, but if I'm aware, if I've made sure that I've tried to fill my understanding with information from here and there and not just one track, then my choices would definitely be different. And maybe that can be a big, big contribution towards moving things in the right direction for the environment. So, very important power. And normally in the world out there, again, you sort of label the person and say they're very hasty or they're quick, and your choice of words will determine how you think about it. But it's something that can be developed. It's something that you can take from that spiritual capacity as the soul progresses. And then, I've talked about the power to face in the contrast with tolerance. But what is it that is absolutely deep inside of me that's going to carry me through circumstances that may be very difficult to manage in the next little while. Yesterday I spoke about the movement from the end of the Iron Age to the beginning of the Golden Age, and this period of transition in between that we're going through. And before we come to the Golden Age, I think the world's going to have to settle and sort out a lot of things. And so I think it's going to be a time of much upheaval, more so even than today. You know, it's like when hot and cold come together, just in terms of the air, it creates a storm. And so that's what's happening in the world now. The negativity and the power of goodness coming directly into a clash with each other. And so there is much upheaval. And within the storm, what is it that's going to hold me absolutely and keep me stable? It's my faith. My faith in myself. And that's not an easy one. But if I've been following the dictates of my conscience and I've been true to myself, my faith in myself continues to develop. At the point in world history now, there's a huge amount of insecurity and fear and a lack of trust. And I think all of these things come from the fact that we don't really know ourselves. And when I'm in touch with myself from a spiritual perspective, then my faith in myself, my trust in myself, my confidence in myself continues to grow. And so faith in myself is just simply knowing that there is goodness within the soul, and I can tap into that power of goodness at all times. Just in that walk from one room to the other room along the corridor, maybe there's been something said that's shaken me a bit. But, okay, I'll deal with it. But can I reaffirm faith in my own goodness moving from here to there? Otherwise, I'm entering that next room in a state of upheaval, and neither am I going to comprehend what the person is trying to tell me. New story, new person, but I'm carrying all that other stuff. And so I can't understand. I'm putting my own interpretation on whatever is being said, instead of truly understanding. And so faith in myself is a big story, because it depends totally on the coherence within myself. And if my conscience is saying one thing and my feelings are saying something else, I need to spend time realigning myself so that both things come together. My core values, my conscience, and my feelings. I have to find a way to resolve that. And it's possible. It has to be. Because my natural inner state is of harmony. It's not of conflict or upheaval. When I'm comfortable inside, then I can swim comfortably out there. But if I'm not comfortable inside, then I'm going to find it very difficult to manage myself. And so faith in myself, and for some the second one is a natural, but for others it might be gradual development, and that is faith in the divine. Maybe I've had a lot of faith, but maybe I haven't had a proper connection, a proper relationship, because I didn't know the very specific information that I have today. Can I make that connection with the Divine stronger and clearer? It's a daily practice, and not just daily, but connecting many times a day. And I'll be able to see external results of the power of faith. So it develops. The faith that I had when I started as a yogi and the faith that I have today, there's a vast difference. And faith is something that's very much connected with the intellect, my power of reason, my power of understanding. It's not just based on my beliefs. If it is, my beliefs can change. Just imagine how many beliefs you held as a child and where you are today. So beliefs change as I understand, as I grow, as I study. And if my faith is based just on belief, it's changing all the time, which is fine. But I also need to keep it stable on the basis of my understanding, so that I'm understanding what the relationship with the Divine is more and more, and so I'm able to maintain my faith. Faith is not blind. Faith is deeply based on my realization and my proof. What is it that I've seen happen in my life as a result of this connection? And not just since you came here, but since the time you can remember, 3 years, 4 years, whatever. But there must have been incidents that allowed you to have faith and that helped you keep that faith. It goes the other way also, that when I have a wrong belief and I'm expecting someone up there to move things and make things go my way, and you're not going my way, that belief can lead to a lot of disappointment and loss of faith. But belief is different to reality. And what happens as I study spiritual knowledge? Yes, there's God's grace. Yes, there's God's protection. But there's also my own karma. And you've been through that lesson. I know that something is wrong, and I move in that direction. I don't listen to my conscience. What's going to be the result of that? It's probably going to be some form of pain. And then I complain, but why did God let this happen? Well, I'm blessed with having an intellect and having the ability to choose. And when it was time for the choice, I knew it was wrong. I still did it. And then I expect God to interfere in that. Billions of people and everything going in a negative direction, and God sending out messages to each one. Yes, you can do this. No, you can't do this. God's intervention is to give me understanding and to give me power and to give me love. But my choice is what determines my future. And so the power to face, if I'm facing challenges, maybe it's of this birth, and I can track back and identify, yeah, it was this that caused this. Here's a person who's not willing to agree with me today, even though it's such a simple matter and it's such a reasonable thing. But they're absolutely adamant. And so, is it today? Is it just they're being obstructive? Or is there something that's happened before that's created this obstruction today? Probably there is. And the exploration I need to have is to see if I can find that. Or if I can't, to have the courage to speak to them and ask them, well, what went wrong? Why is it that we are in the condition that we are now? And so faith through understanding, what is it I'm responsible for and what is it that God is responsible for? And then through understanding, no false expectations, but recognizing the help that I received at times in my past when I couldn't have done it myself, but it was God's help. How many of you have heard the story of footsteps in the sand? A few, not everyone. So it's just a short story and it's worth taking it up. It's a story, so it's not fact in the sense that the story goes that at the end of his life, this man is sitting up above. Now, that's not how it is, but let's take the story. The man is sitting up above, and he's sitting with God, and he's seeing the story of his life on earth. And he's seeing two steps or footprints in the sand going side by side. And then he's seeing some gaps. And where there are gaps, it's just one footprint and not two. And so the man says to God, complaining, but the times that there's just a single footprint, those were the times that were most difficult for me. Why did you leave me at that time? And God's response, those were the times I carried you, my child. I was very moved when I first heard the story because it just reminded me of things before I had any knowledge of spirituality or God or anything, but times I look back and I say, yes, I must have been carried. So today when I understand more, then I know that yes, that help is forthcoming, but I also have to make some effort. But I also know that at a time when I understand, I'm supposed to use that understanding in my life and not ignore it. So the power to face my faith in myself, my faith in God, but also faith in the family I'm with. The little nuclear family, but also the big spiritual family. And to know that we're all on the same track. And to know that there's always people you can reach out to. I'm sure that in this time here and through your conversations, there must be friendships that you've created that are going to last beyond the time here, maybe for much, much longer. But there'll always be people who you can reach out to and take help from. And to have that faith that yes, there'll always be a family that's there. So these three aspects of faith help you face whatever situation you come across. And your faith will draw those who can bring you the help that they can give. And so, the power to face. And the last power that's part of this particular sequence, the power to cooperate. In these days of Diwali, There's a story that goes in India, something like this, that when there was a big challenge facing a village and they didn't know how to deal with it, God told them, if all of you give one little finger of support and cooperation, but the fact is that you all have to give it together at the same time, not choose your times, well, I can give a finger now and I can give a finger later. No. Everyone giving their little finger of cooperation, and they say that the mountain was lifted. And so a beautiful image of how when everyone gives their little finger of support and cooperation, things change more dramatically than you could ever have expected. How do I learn to cooperate? It's a question I get asked by corporate leaders, because they're very clear in their vision and mission and everything. But what they're finding is that within the teams that exist, there isn't cooperation. But instead of cooperation, there's competition. And there's a fallacy that says, well, if you compete, you're going to get the better and the best. Not true. Competing in sports, maybe, whatever it is, but certainly competing in terms of life and your work and your responsibilities, it's not very helpful. And yet this other side of the picture, very different perspective. This other perspective is that if I give my support and help at the time it's needed, it's time for the mountain to be lifted and it'll happen. The energy of more than one combined together creates miracles. It's a concept that comes up in other traditions also. And so when there's a group of us, maybe even just three, maybe 10, whatever, but different habits, past patterns of behavior, mean that everybody's pulling in their own direction. And the result? Nothing's going to happen. Too many different ideas, all conflicting. And so nothing happens. But if I can see your virtues, your specialities, and yours, and yours, and yours, then that's creating a bond that's very powerful. And then all of start thinking in a similar track, not just of me and my ego and my idea, but what is of benefit for everyone concerned. What is the need of the hour? And so when we see specialities and we look at the purpose of our existence, well, why is it we actually came together? And thirdly, what are the core values by the group that's handling this particular project? And in that way, cooperation develops, but it moves from being just simple cooperation to collaboration, in which when we come together, we trust each other, we have that ability to connect, and what comes out of trust and cooperation is collaboration. Something that's new, something that's different. Otherwise it's 1 + 1 = 2. But here, 1 + 1 = 11. Different things coming together and sparking things. So a big new energy that's generated. And cooperation depends on seeing goodness in all. Whatever I know of the person individually and the story that they come from, Can I set that to one side and just see them as my brother or my sister? And can we then cooperate together? And it'll flourish, and there'll be collaboration, and things will move very quickly in a very beautiful new way forward. The other thing that I want to draw to your attention before we close with a few minutes of silence together, these are aspects of spiritual power. But in fact, within the soul, the qualities of the soul, as I begin to first experience them, it's a very gentle, sweet feeling, connecting with my own inner treasures. But as I begin to use those qualities in my life, they actually become a power. I'll give you an example. There's the power of peace. And I can learn to make my mind quiet, connect with God, and draw God's peace within myself. And a little while later, that my ability to stay peaceful at times of stress has grown. And it'll keep growing. There'll never be an end to it. It'll just get stronger and deeper. It comes to the point where then there's peace, not just for you, for yourself, but the power of peace has come to the extent where it can influence circumstances and people, make things shift completely. You must have experienced in your life that you've tried to make something happen and it's just not happening. And then you connect with somebody and somehow they are in tune with you. They like that idea. But the combination of the two working in synergy means that the energy that's being generated through that love and respect for each other is love that's going to change things. It's going to move things. And so try using love as a power. A child hurts his knee falling down, and the mother says, "Come, I'll kiss it better." And it gets better. And within a couple of moments, he's running around again. So the power of love. It's a process of healing that gets triggered within the body. But also, it's the energy that I receive from God that gives me the power to be able to change myself. God doesn't just teach us, but God is also the mother and the father, but the mother who's able to give infinite love. And the power of God's love gives me the courage to say, yes, I will change. I will take the next step that I need to take. And the next step after that also. So, experiment with all of these ideas. The power of love, the power of peace, the power of truth. In a world of darkness, truth is inconvenient for many people. But if I persevere, then that becomes a record in itself. That's evidence of all the things I've been able to accomplish with the power of yoga. The power of happiness. Here's a festival day. Differences are set aside and everybody celebrates with happiness. Normally those differences would have been so big that there's no way that there would be an acceptance or a possibility of further movement. But that the joy of happiness of a particular festival occasion, and people come together and new bonds are created, old bonds are transfixed. But yet try experimenting with using the power of the virtues that you carry within yourself, and you'll be able to see beautiful results as a result. So let's have a few minutes of meditation, and I'll guide the meditation, and let yourself just follow those ideas in your mind. And if at some point you don't want to do that, that's also fine. You can generate your own ideas, or just let the mind become very peaceful, not even with too many thoughts. Going inwards, I look at my thoughts and simply looking at them slows down the speed. And now I can choose. I choose the power of peace. I hold peace in my mind, but I don't just want the thought of peace. I want to feel peace. I go deeper and deeper into myself. Until I come to that space inside where there's stillness. And in the stillness within, connected with the self, the inner being, I come to that space of feeling the soul that I am. Stepping back into this awareness and the presence of the divine. I feel surrounded by God's light and love. My connection with the divine, the qualities of God touch the soul. Peace from the ocean surrounds me. Not only am I absorbing peace from the One, the settling, the things of the past, so they no longer have the power to disturb me. God's peace surrounds me and also ignites the flame. In this experience of absorbing peace and love, these qualities emerge. Love and peace radiates out into the world. The heart is filled with gratitude. And my thoughts come back to the space here and now, in this moment. But I know I can make this connection at any time and share that light, that peace, that love. Om Shanti. Carry away all your experiences and insights and transformation with you and share them with whoever you meet. Om Shanti.